Let's go ahead and open the Bible to the book of Matthew, chapter 3. This will be a Bible study about what does it mean to understand the message that we should repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. What does that mean? Repent for the kingdom of God is at hand. How do we relate to that statement? In Matthew 3, verse 1, it says, "In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, in the book of Matthew, Matthew uses the term the kingdom of heaven pretty much all the way through. But in Mark and Luke and John, it talks about the kingdom of God. It uses that expression. Both expressions mean the same thing. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it's the same thing. In fact, I'm just going to turn back to Daniel 7 just for a moment. In verse 27 of Daniel 7, it says, "And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Now there it talks about the kingdom under the whole heaven, but it's the kingdom of God because it belongs to God. Now we're supposed to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is done in heaven." And when the kingdom of God comes to the earth, as it will in its fullness at the second coming of Christ, it will be the kingdom of heaven, because the kingdom of God originates with God the Father, and he's in heaven, and he rules over all the angels. It's his kingdom, but it's going to come to the earth. So it will be the kingdom of heaven on the earth. It'll be heaven on earth. Going back to Daniel 4, verse 25, Daniel tells King Nebuchadnezzar, "They will drive you away from men, and you will dwell with the animals in the field, and they will make you eat grass, and you will be wet with the dew of heaven for 7 times or 7 years, until you learn that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men and gives it to whomever he wills." Now, God is up in heaven, but he's interested in the things that are happening on the earth. Now, here King Nebuchadnezzar, who was the king of Babylon, had to learn that God rules from heaven and influences what's going on the earth, because the earth belongs to the Lord. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. It says that in Psalm 24, and Paul quoted that in 1 Corinthians 10. The earth belongs to God, and everything in it belongs to God, because in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. God started human history, and he will finish it. God put Adam and Eve on the earth 6,000 years ago, and when the seventh millennial day comes, God's going to see to it that the earth is exactly the way God wants it to be, and Satan will be kicked out. And at that time, in the seventh millennial day, the kingdom of God will fill the earth. Turn over to Psalm 103. Psalm 103:19, "The Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens." See, God's throne is up there in heaven. "And his kingdom rules over all." Now, God's sitting on his throne up in heaven, and the whole creation is his kingdom. The whole universe, all of the angels, everything that's in the universe, including the earth, is God's kingdom. Now, God owns the earth and everything in it. He owns the whole universe. The next verse says, "Bless the Lord, all you his angels, who excel in strength, who do God's bidding. They keep his commandments." That's the holy angels. "Listening to the voice of his word, you ministers of his that do his pleasure." Now, God sits on his throne up in heaven. If you read the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, now we're not going to turn there right now, but if you read it, John was taken in vision up into heaven, and he saw God sitting on his throne, and he describes it there. And there are 24 elders sitting around God's throne. There's a rainbow over God's throne, and there are many, many more angels, and they all look to God the Father sitting on the throne. And there are just billions of angels. So God rules over them all, and they're all part of his kingdom. It says right here in verse 19, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. And as I said, in Psalm 24, it says that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Now, as you know, one-third of the angels rebelled against God. And it says in Revelation 12 that there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels had to fight against the dragon and his angels. And it says that Satan and his angels were cast out of heaven down to the earth. Revelation 12:9 says that. God cast Satan and his angels out of heaven down to the earth. Just like God cast Adam and Eve out of the Garden of Eden when they chose to follow Satan. Now you see, now God's kingdom is supreme. And when people or angels rebel against God's authority, it says, God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them into a condition of restraint until the time of their judgment comes. So Satan deceived Mother Eve. Eve got to Adam, and they both sinned, and God cast them out of the Garden of Eden. And Paul said in Romans 5, verse 12, that sin entered into the world through one man, Adam. And when sin enters into God's creation, it spreads like leaven. So for the last 6,000 years, Satan has had dominion over the earth, ever since the time of Adam and Eve. So things have been going Satan's way on the earth. God calls what's going on the earth Babylon. This world is Babylon, and Satan rules over it. So you watch the news, and you look at the world conditions today, look at all the nations on the face of the earth. They're not obeying God. This is not God's world. But the time is going to come when Jesus will return to the earth at his second coming, and Satan will be cast out of the earth during the seventh millennial day. You read that in Revelation chapter 20. A great mighty angel comes and takes Satan and chains him up and takes him away so that he won't deceive the nations anymore for 1,000 years. And that's going to be the world tomorrow. Now that's why Jesus said, well, and John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Psalm 103:19, we just read it, God's throne is in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. That means the whole universe. But the earth has been in a state of darkness. See, now God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all, the Bible says. This world has been in darkness for 6,000 years now. But in the seventh millennial day, those conditions will change. Now God's going to fix the earth. He's going to restore his government over the earth. And so thus, the kingdom of heaven will come to the earth. So Jesus said to pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it's done in heaven. Okay. Back to Matthew chapter 3 now. I hope you kept your finger there. Matthew 3 verse 1. In those days John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It means God's time will come on the earth. God's time will come. Down in verse 11, John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now Jesus sent the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and that started the New Testament Church of God. But at his second coming, he's going to send fire, and he's going to burn up Satan's kingdom on the earth. You know, Mr. Armstrong said that the earth is like a cake, and the kingdom on the earth is like frosting on the cake. And the frosting is bad frosting, the civilization that developed from Adam and Eve. And even after God sent the flood in the days of Noah, the earth got corrupt again, all over again. God had to confuse the languages at the Tower of Babel, and all the nations on the earth came from the Tower of Babel, really. This is the extension of Babel. All the nations with all their languages, and none of them obeying God, really. Now, Abraham did obey God, and God promised Abraham that he would make one mighty nation from Abraham's descendants. Now, God wanted the children of Israel to keep his commandments, and God would bless them. God did bless the descendants of Abraham and continues to bless them today, but they're not obeying God very well today. Anyway, now here John the Baptist is saying that Jesus will send the Holy Spirit and fire. Now, he sent the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and you can read in Acts chapter 2 that Peter said, this is what was prophesied in the book of Joel, that God would pour out his Spirit, but then the day of the Lord will come when the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, you know, before the great and terrible day of the Lord comes. And that's at Christ's second coming. And you can read in the book of Revelation about the seven seals, the seven trumpets, and the seven last plagues. And it all culminates with Christ's second coming, and he destroys Babylon, and then Christ is going to set up the wonderful world tomorrow. It's going to be a whole new world. So he's going to gather his wheat into the barn and burn up all of the garbage on the earth, because the earth belongs to God, and everything in it belongs to God, so God's going to clean up the earth. And that's what John the Baptist is saying Jesus will do in verse 12 here. Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor. That means the earth. Jesus is going to clean house. He's going to clean up the earth and make sure that the seventh millennial day is holy time. And Satan's Babylon is not going to enter into Christ's world tomorrow, you see. He will burn up the garbage with unquenchable fire. Okay, now in chapter 4, Matthew chapter 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And then he was tempted for 40 days and 40 nights. Mr. Armstrong called this the battle of the universe, and Jesus overcame Satan. He was tempted, he was tested. Now, when Satan entered the Garden of Eden, he got Adam and Eve to stumble and fall. He persuaded them to follow him. But Satan could not persuade Jesus to do that. In verse 8, the devil took Jesus up to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and said, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. But then Jesus said to him, get out of here, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now you see, that's the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. God is the one who created us. Satan is a created being. He was one of the angels. But he got this idea into his head that he wanted to take over God's job. And he wanted everybody to worship him. He wants to be God. But Jesus wouldn't do that. He would not follow Satan. He wouldn't cave in. Mr. Armstrong said, you know, this was a test to see who would rule over whom. And Jesus would not let Satan rule over him. And that's what we all have to learn to do. The church has to learn to be like Jesus. Don't let Satan rule over you. You worship God. Follow the one true God. The first principle of religion is to make sure you're following the right God. Don't follow Satan. And I would say that all of these religions on the face of the earth are Satan's religions. But then there's the one true religion, which is God's religion. And in verse 4, Jesus said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God." That's the true religion. Find out what God says and do that. Obey God. Don't let Satan corrupt your mind. He corrupted one-third of the angels' minds and virtually all of humanity. They're all carnal-minded right now. But the true members of the true church, they have the spirit of a sound mind. And you read about that in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. God's spirit is the spirit of power and love and of a sound mind. Jesus has a sound mind. God the Father has a sound mind. The two-thirds of the angels who are holy, they have sound minds. Now God wants us to have sound minds. You can read in Romans chapter 8 that there are two kinds of minds. There's the mind that's led by God's Holy Spirit, that's a sound mind, and then there's the carnal mind that just doesn't want to obey God. It's hostile against God, and people who are that way cannot please God because they've got a different spirit in them that comes from Satan. All right, now, after this 40-day battle of the universe, which Jesus won, and he conquered Satan in that sense, he wouldn't cave in and follow Satan. Then a few verses later, down in verse 17, Matthew 4, verse 17, "From that time on, Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now again, Matthew calls it the kingdom of heaven because it's God's government that starts with God the Father. God sits on the throne in heaven and his kingdom rules over all. But Satan shut off the government of God down here on the earth. So people are not hearing God's message. Verse 17 again, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for you and me and everybody else? It means that God's time is coming. Things are going to change on the earth when Jesus returns at his second coming. So get ready for it and start to obey God now. Put yourself under the government of God right now, voluntarily, and get ready for that time that is coming. In verse 23, "And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom." The gospel is the good news of the world tomorrow. And Mr. Armstrong preached that for over 50 years. It's the good news of the world tomorrow. It's the same message John the Baptist preached, and Jesus preached. Now that message was suppressed after the death of the original apostles. And people didn't hear the good news of the world tomorrow. In fact, in the Middle Ages, as Edward Gibbon wrote in his book, The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, "The doctrine of Christ's reign on earth was at first treated as a profound allegory, but by degrees became viewed as a doubtful and useless opinion, and at length it was rejected as the absurd invention of heresy and fanaticism." The doctrine of Christ's reign on the earth. Now you can read in Zechariah 14 verse 9 that the time is coming when the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And then it says a few verses later that all the people on the earth will keep the Feast of Tabernacles and worship the King, the Lord, who is ruling over the earth. And that would be Jesus Christ. Now that's the doctrine of Christ's coming reign on the earth. In Revelation 11, verse 15, don't turn there, but when the seventh trumpet blows, it says, "The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." Now that's when the kingdom of God will be filling the whole earth. Now the true church is the kingdom of God in embryo right now, Mr. Armstrong said. And you read about that in Colossians chapter 1, that God has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now, Jesus is the head of the church right now. So, the church, which obeys the government of God, is the kingdom of God in embryo right now, but it doesn't fill the earth. The only place on earth right now where God's government functions is in his true church. Now, Mr. Armstrong said, the church does not fall away, but people fall away from the church. When they stop obeying the government of God, then they've left the church. They're not under God's government. They're outside of it. And Paul talked about the great apostasia that would come. A great falling away has happened. But the true church stays on the right track. It doesn't fall away. Now, somewhere on the earth today, there is the government of God functioning. Now, you want to find it and put yourself voluntarily under Christ's government now. Why don't we vote in public elections? It's because we're ambassadors for Christ. We represent God's kingdom. Our citizenship is in heaven. We are ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We obey God's laws. We're under God's government. And under his care, we pray to him. We stay close to him. He answers our prayers. And we are ambassadors of the kingdom of God, which is going to come and fill the whole earth later. But right now, God is sending ambassadors. Now, when people break away from God's government, they're not in the church anymore. But they have to come back. So repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, means live your life now, voluntarily submitting to God's government now, and be obeying God now, and live your life in expectation of the fact that the kingdom of God is going to come and fill the earth. Satan's dominion over the earth is going to end. This world will end. But Christ's new world will never end once it's established over the earth. And God fully intends to make everything right on the earth. Now, let's go over to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1. Right at the beginning, this former treatise that I have written, O Theophilus. Now, Luke wrote this. He's talking about the book of Luke here. Of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up, after he, through the Holy Spirit, gave commandment to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive by many infallible proofs for 40 days, and speaking about the kingdom of God to them. And he told them to wait in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit comes. I'm paraphrasing to make it short. Verse 6, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons, which the Father has put in his own power. But you see, that kingdom is going to come. Jesus said the 12 apostles will govern the 12 tribes of Israel in the world tomorrow. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes, and you will be witnesses for me to the ends of the earth. They preached the true gospel of the kingdom of God all around the world, the good news of the world tomorrow. And after he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He ascended to heaven in their very sight. And while they looked toward the sky as he went up, two angels stood by them and said, you men of Galilee, why are you standing looking up into heaven? This same Jesus, who has been taken up from you, will so return in like manner as you have seen him go up into heaven. So Jesus will return to the earth. And then turn over to chapter 3, Acts 3, verse 19. Now this is Peter speaking. He said to the people, repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. See, the time is coming, and he will send Jesus Christ, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So when Jesus returns to the earth, he's going to restore all things that need to be restored on the earth. He's going to put the earth back on the right track, and Satan will be kicked out of the picture, and Jesus will be the king over all the earth, and God's kingdom will fill the earth at that time. Go back to Daniel 7 again. Daniel 7, verse 13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. Now Jesus ascended up to heaven in Acts chapter 1, and he went all the way up to God the Father, right up to the throne of God at the headquarters of the universe. Now you read in Revelation chapter 5, that God the Father was sitting there on his throne with a book that was sealed with seven seals. And nobody was found worthy to open it except Jesus. And God the Father hands his book to Jesus. And all the holy angels are watching. And Jesus was found worthy to take the revelation from God the Father and open up the seven seals. Now, in verse 14, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. It's talking about Jesus, which shall never end, and his kingdom will never be destroyed. Now God the Father has awarded Jesus to become the king over all the earth. And all the nations on the face of the earth are going to obey him when he comes back to the earth. That's why it says in Revelation 11:15 that at the seventh trumpet, the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord, and he will reign forever and ever. But there's a time element between Christ's first coming and his second coming, and we're living at that time right now, between Christ's first and second coming. Therefore, you need to repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's what everybody needs to hear and start doing. Get on the right track, because the kingdom of God is coming to the earth. 10% of the Bible prophecy has already been fulfilled at Christ's first coming, but the other 90% is yet to be fulfilled. And it will be fulfilled. So get ready for that. Don't live your life as if God doesn't exist or something, and that you can do anything you want to do. That's what the tree of knowledge of good and evil represents. People just deciding for themselves that they can do anything they want. They can even break God's Ten Commandments and sin, and they think they'll get away with it. Well, that's wrong. No, they need to hear that the kingdom of God is coming. And so you better get ready for that and live your life according to God's laws. Put yourself under God's government now so you can enter into the seventh millennial day when the time comes. Don't try to get away with sin. You won't get away with it. Down in verse 21, I watched, and the little horn on that fourth beast made war against God's saints. Verse 22, until the time came that dominion over the earth was given to the saints of the Most High, and the saints possessed the kingdom. Now that time will come, but it hasn't come yet. Now, go over to John chapter 6, the book of John in the New Testament, chapter 6, and verse 15. When Jesus perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed from them to a mountain where he could be alone. Now here are people, they wanted to make Jesus the king to start his kingdom at that time, and it wasn't time yet. And now I'll go back to Luke chapter 19 and verse 11. Luke 19:11. And as they heard these things, he added and spoke a parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought that the kingdom of God would immediately appear. They thought it was time for Jesus to become the king over all the earth back then, at his first coming. They wanted to take him and make him king, and they thought the kingdom of God would immediately appear. So Jesus gave a parable. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive a kingdom and to return. Now that pictures Jesus ascending up to heaven after he was crucified and resurrected, and he was with the disciples for 40 days, and then they watched him go up into heaven. The two angels said, Jesus will return back to the earth as you saw him going to heaven. And a couple of chapters later, Peter said, repent therefore, because the times of restoration of all things are going to come, and the heaven has received Jesus until his second coming, when he will fulfill the 90% of the Bible prophecy that is yet to be fulfilled. And he's going to restore all things on the earth at that time. And we're between Christ's first and second comings now, so repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. It's at hand. Jesus overcame Satan at his first coming. He died for the sins of the world. He was resurrected. So repent, for the kingdom of heaven is coming. But here he's giving this parable, and he compares himself to somebody who went far away to receive a kingdom and to return later. And he was going to give his servants something to do in the meanwhile. And that's the point of all of this, is that we should be doing what it says in this parable now. Not sit around wasting time, but rather preparing for the kingdom of God. So in verse 13, he called his 10 servants and gave each of them 10 pounds, it says. He said, now do something with what I'm giving you. But his citizens hated him and said, we don't want this man to rule over us. Well, that's the people of the earth. They don't want to obey Jesus right now. They don't want to read the Bible. They don't want to read the New Testament or the Old Testament and obey God's law and do what Jesus and the apostles commanded that people should be doing. Paul said they don't like to retain God in their knowledge. So they disobey God. Now God the Father is on his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all, and we're supposed to live by every word that comes out of the mouth of God, and that would include the two great commandments and the Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount. Mr. Armstrong said God's Holy Spirit is living water that flows down the riverbed of the Ten Commandments. And that's the straight and narrow path that leads to life. Few people are finding it right now. But you want to find it, and walk on it, and don't depart from the straight and narrow path. What you want to be doing is developing God's character, and allow God to write his laws on your heart and in your mind, and bear fruit for the kingdom of God in this lifetime now. Verse 15, and when he returned, in other words, when Jesus returns to the earth at his second coming, having received the kingdom, then he commanded those servants to be brought before him. He wanted to know what they did with the time and the abilities that he gave them. So the first came and said, Lord, your pound has gained 10 pounds. See, he didn't waste his time. He used his time profitably. And he said to him, well done, you good servant, because you have been faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. In the world tomorrow, this man will be governing over 10 cities. And the second came and said, Lord, your pound has gained 5 pounds. He said to him, you be over 5 cities. Then another one came and said, Lord, here's your pound. I didn't do anything with it. I just saved it. In verse 23, Jesus said, well, you should have taken my money to the bank and let it collect some interest, at least. But then he said, take away from him his pound and give it to the one who has 10 pounds. And they said, Lord, he has 10 pounds. But Jesus said, everybody who has done a good job and worked hard and not been lazy and taken advantage of the time I gave them between my first and second coming. And they didn't waste their life, but they bore fruit for the kingdom of God. They will receive the greater reward. But the people who didn't do anything will lose what they thought they had, and it'll be given to those who worked hard. And then in verse 27, but those enemies of mine who didn't want me to rule over them, bring them here and slay them. Now there are 7.5 billion people on the face of the earth today. And Jesus is going to come and clean house. And all of the garbage on the earth he's going to burn up. And that means people. They're not going to enter into the world tomorrow. But those who have done a good job and put themselves under the government of God, and that they voluntarily submitted to God's authority. You know, Mr. Armstrong said, God won't save anyone he can't rule. God is the ruler, see? It's the kingdom of God. God the Father is the father of the whole family in heaven and earth. He's in charge. He's sitting on the throne up in heaven. No one can knock him off of the throne. But God's government is a government of love. It's a family matter. God is gentle and kind. He's not pompous and vain like King Nebuchadnezzar, you know. Now, God's training us to be rulers in the kingdom of God like God. We're going to be under God's authority, but we'll be able to administer God's government over cities and over people in the world tomorrow. Now, we need to develop the godly character right now. So this has been a Bible study now about the fact that the kingdom of God is coming, or the kingdom of heaven. The time will come. You know, it says that Joseph of Arimathea was waiting for the kingdom of God to come. Jesus said that Abraham rejoiced to see the day of Jesus Christ that would come, and he saw it and was glad. That's John 8:56. And in Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, meaning Abraham and Sarah and Noah and righteous Abel and Isaac and Jacob and Moses and King David and so on. Everybody mentioned in Hebrews 11, these all died in faith, not having received the promises yet, but seeing them afar off. In their mind's eye, God gave them the ability to envision the world tomorrow, the seventh millennial day. You can read the Bible prophecies and get a pretty good picture of the world tomorrow. We do this during the Feast of Tabernacles. Even Isaiah 2, it says, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's house will be established at the top of the mountains. And all people will flow to it. And people will say, let's go up to the mountain. He will teach us his ways and we will walk in his paths. There will be world peace. Nations will not lift up sword against nation anymore. It says in another place that they'll all be keeping the Feast of Tabernacles in the world tomorrow. They'll all be worshiping God from Sabbath to Sabbath and from month to month. They'll be building houses and planting vineyards and bearing children. And the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters fill the seas. Everybody will be happy. There'll be no more crying and unhappiness. There'll be no more death. Funerals will become a thing of the past. We've done Bible studies on these things. People will live a long time in the flesh, like the days of a tree, it says, hundreds of years, like before the flood when they lived 900 years, you know. But they won't have to die. They'll be changed from mortal to immortal, just as Adam would have been if he had taken of the tree of life. In the world tomorrow, God's going to pour out his spirit on all people. Everybody will be in the true church. Everybody will be taught God's ways in the world tomorrow. Satan will be gone out of the picture. Humanity will not be held captive by Satan anymore. Satan won't be broadcasting his evil spirit into people's minds anymore, stirring up sins. Not in the world tomorrow. Of course, he'll be released from the prison after 1,000 years and immediately stir up trouble on the earth again, like he does today. But not in the seventh millennial day, because the kingdom of heaven will be on the earth. So Jesus and the apostles preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's coming. And so we're living between Christ's first and second comings now. You should hear that message. It's the good news of the world tomorrow, and you should be getting ready for it and living your life accordingly. Mr. Armstrong said to the senior students the day before they graduated in his baccalaureate sermon on the Sabbath day, he said, as your lifetime goes along, keep your eyes on the kingdom of God. It's like in sports when you don't want to take your eye off the ball so you don't miss it. He said, always keep in mind that the great tribulation will come. It'll be a time of trouble on the earth, but it will be followed by the kingdom of God. The wonderful world tomorrow will come. So live your life in anticipation of the kingdom of God. Obey God's laws. Put yourself under God's government voluntarily, because that's the way it will be when Christ returns. Christ is going to force the nations to obey him then, and if they don't want to, they'll be eliminated. They won't be allowed to survive into the world tomorrow. Now, God's church needs to be putting itself voluntarily under Christ's government right now in the world today, and the church has to make herself ready and respect God's government now, and in a humble and meek attitude, submit to God's government. It's the right thing to do.